fan. On demand. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. Sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. Have you got game? Got game on the Sportsnet Radio Network and Sportsnet590.ca.
This is Got Game, a show by gamers for gamers on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We have a busy show this week with the producer of NHL 15 joining us to discuss what we can expect from the game. It seems like VR is going to be a thing because another major company is getting in the ring with their own VR headset. And we review a golf game made in Canada called The Golf Club.
Have you got game? The Lowdown.
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I am Brian Calhoun. Christine, where's Momin Qureshi again?
It's literally where in the world is Momin Qureshi this year because he is in Stockholm today, right this very minute, according to his Instagram feed.
No wonder we have to reintroduce the guy every week. He was here for 1 week. He's gone. Apparently, he's actually on vacation. The funny thing is that I always make fun of the man saying that he's always taking some vacation here or there. He really is on vacation this time.
He certainly is. Next stop after this, I believe, is London, which will be exciting because who doesn't love London?
Well, it's another week, so with or without Momin Qureshi, we continue on. Brendan Fry, editor-in-chief of Comics and Gaming Magazine, has come in to take Momin's place for this week, so welcome in.
Thank you for having me.
But we have very little time each week here on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network, so let's get right to it. We know you're interested. We know you're waiting for it. This is one of the biggest games for the listening audience of Got Game every year. So let's talk to Sean about what's finally and, you know, what the final version of NHL 15 will be. Here is Sean Ramjack Singh, producer of NHL 15 on Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Sean, we find ourselves in a very peculiar location for a video game on the ice at the MasterCard Center. And this reminds me of actually our E3 interview. And one of the questions I asked you was the arenas. You were talking about how authentic the arenas were going to be in the next NHL game, NHL 15, which comes out on Tuesday. And I was just wondering, did you get all the arenas? What, anything get left out?
We have 30 unique arenas in the game. Unfortunately, we are not able to license two of them, Chicago and Carolina. And it's just a licensing thing. Like with everything, anything goes in the game, there's contracts and there's paperwork that needs to get sorted out between the two sides. And, you know, for many different reasons, sometimes we can't get a contract in place. So happy to say that we have 28 authentic arenas that are fully licensed and in the game. And we'll work on the other two moving forward.
Well, since we're here on the ice at the MasterCard Center, any idea of perhaps maybe also including practice arenas in the future?
Yeah, I think that, I think it's a good idea. I think when you look at what people want to do and they want to practice with their team, I think practice arenas is probably the next extension. And also looking at other leagues, too, and trying to bring in some of their authentic arenas as well, whether it be the HL, CHL, or some of the European leagues.
I'm joined by Sean Ramjack Singh, the producer of NHL 15. You're listening to Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And obviously, you knew this question was coming, Sean. You guys had to leave some stuff out of your game this year. And I could go for the list, but why don't you just tell our listeners what got left out? And the question they really want to know is why.
Yeah, I think the big ones that were left out, you know, OTP, which is coming as part of a content update, still TBD the exact date when it's going to come, and the EA Sports Hockey League, which I know our fans are super passionate about, and we're committed to the EA Sports Hockey League. But, you know, working on the new consoles, you know, when we wrapped up NHL 14 and got going on 15, and the new consoles had a lot of just unexpected technical hurdles that we had to overcome. And, you know, the great thing is when you overcome them, they open up, you know, a lot of new things that you can do. And but sometimes, you know, the hurdles take a lot of time and a lot of resources. And with our dates, we have a set launch date of September 9th, and every day that goes by is a day that's essentially lost. And so, you know, at the end of the day, we just, you know, we pushed as hard as we could. The team pushed as hard as they could. And at the end of the day, when we had to make the final call on what made it in there for launch, unfortunately, EA Sports Hockey was not a part of it. And OTP is in development right now, and we'll get that there as soon as we can. So it was tough, and we know the, you know, we know how passionate fans are about the EA Sports Hockey. And like I said, we're 100% committed to it. Just, you know, making a full sports game, especially on a new console in one year is an aggressive cycle for us. And we'll get the EA Sports Hockey back in there as soon as we can, too.
You guys left a lot of stuff also inside the game from previous years. I was just wondering what made the cuts. Not more than what made the cut, but why what made the cut, if that makes sense. Why one mode made it and another did not?
Yeah, and we had to make some decisions early on about which modes were going to come over. And, you know, we have data on kind of which modes people are playing, how much they're playing. And, you know, people think the mode they play is like the most played mode, and when you look at the actual usage of it, it's actually not there. And everything that we bring over, we need to maintain year after year after year, which is not cheap to do as well. So we wanted to become more efficient so we can spend more time working on the cool stuff where people are spending most of their time. And the other part of it too with our game modes is really rebuilding a technical foundation so we can do bigger and better things on this console, as opposed to just trying to port everything over and be strapped with the same kind of legacy code base. So, you know, our gameplay and presentation is fantastic. It's still a full-featured game. We have lots of different ways to play, lots of different modes still in the game, whether it be a GM or be a pro or Hockey Ultimate Team. You still play online versus. But the foundation that we've built from a tech perspective allows us to do things bigger and better than we have before and really take our game to new heights on these new consoles.
So you're listening to Sean Ramczak-Singh, the producer of NHL 15. I'm Brian Calhoun. This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. And Sean, first year on a new set of console hardware, fourth gen, as they call it. That's the Xbox One, the PlayStation 4, Gen 3 being the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3. I mean, I could ask you a whole bunch of questions, but let's just roll this all into one. What does being on the next generation allow you guys to do that you couldn't do on Gen 3?
Literally, you know, it's a whole new world for us. It allows us to do so much more, more of everything. Like we've been talking about E3 with our gameplay and presentation, and running more math under hood, having physics running all the time, having high resolution textures, the ability to have, you know, 9,000 new crowd models in there with specific animations and the super fans and have control over the crowd. You know, more animations with our superstar skill stick. It's really allowed us to, and the puck physics too is, you know, is a big game changer for us as well. Really allows us to fundamentally change the core gameplay and presentation experience. And then, like I mentioned before, just really set ourselves up from a game modes perspective with the new tech and the way that we've implemented it to do bigger and better things moving forward.
So new player models, new player AI, new puck physics, new player physics. Anything that you guys specifically are proud of above everything else? Or is this one of those situations where they're all your children? How can you pick one more over the other?
For me, they're all my children because, you know, in my role, everyone's got different areas that they look after. And we have this vision for how we expect it all, you know, all the independent features to come together and work at the same time, work simultaneously. So for me, I see throughout development, I see each one of the different areas progressing forward and seeing big wins. But at the end, when it all comes together, it has to work together and get balanced. That's the part that I take the most pride in, is the fact that it all came together, our gameplay, our presentation, all the different elements within each one of those things, and work seamlessly. So that's, for me personally, that's the most impressive part, is that it all came together and the work that the team did, pulling it all together and balancing it near the end there is fantastic.
Just so we can keep people up to date, do you want to sort of walk through those new additions to the game in a little bit more detail?
Sure, yeah. So the you know, the first thing is the next generation player model, which we've literally rebuilt from the ground up, going from more of a Michelin Man in Gen 3 to a layered player model, the body, modeling the body, the equipment on top, and then having dynamic cloth as well. So as the players move, the jersey's going to flow behind them in a realistic fashion. Redoing our puck physics from the ground up as well. Literally changes the game, just more realistic bounces and the puck going places never gone before, and then the puck interacting with the player, hitting the player's jersey or the goalie's jersey, then the equipment underneath and reacting appropriately. So it's really just changed the flow and the balance of the game, the puck physics. New superstar skill stick, so more dekes in there, really just focusing on giving the user more control. And the multiplayer physics as well. So we were the first team sports game to have physics running in there, and it was limited to two players being in physics at any one time on the last console, and now we can have up to all 12 players being in physics. So we're seeing some really, really cool stuff happen where you can knock a guy into another guy or knock two guys over at once or have a small guy trying to hit a big guy and fall over. And then the presentation piece, with the authentic arenas and the crowd and the NBC presentation and the video integration of the commentators, which is something, again, that's, you know, a first for sports games, having actual commentators in the virtual environment. So the package itself, their gameplay and presentation, is something that we're really, really proud of.
Yeah, that was something I wanted to ask you. Why choose to go with actual people in your side of your game instead of, like, strapped inside a suit? Did they just not want to put on the suit with all the balls on it?
The thing is, we were looking at, we knew we wanted to change the commentators. We were trying to figure out, well, how can we do it in a way that hasn't been done before? So we've seen games put new commentators in just have the audio. We've seen games put commentators in, put a microphone in front of their face to cover the lip syncing, which all of our, you know, all gamers know what's going on there. And we thought with the new consoles and knowing where visuals were going to get to or where we wanted to get to, we said, could we actually put the real Doc and Eddie in there? And we did some really early prototypes, suited some guys up in the studio and dropped it into actually Gen 3 to see what it looked like. And it was like the moment we saw it, we're like, we're onto something here. And from that moment on, we knew that we wanted to get Doc and Eddie in their suits, actual Doc and Eddie in our virtual environment.
So that was Sean Ramczak-Singh, producer of NHL 15, a game that will be out next Tuesday. I don't know why I'm saying that. I'm pretty sure everybody listening to this right now knows exactly when NHL 15 will be out. But it's out on September 9th, if you were convinced by Sean Ramjack saying to pick it up this year. A lot of people not totally convinced, Christine. There's a lot of backlash.
Yeah, because there's a lot missing. You know, a lot of the staples from the games in the past are missing from this one. And we touched on this last week, you know, talking about the EASHL. We talked about there being no NHL 94, which, I mean, Les, as you said last week, we didn't kind of expect that it was going to be a regular thing to have the NHL 94 in there. But, you know, there being no GM connected mode, no Winter Classic. And these are modes that had been hyped in the past, and having them not be in this game, it's a lot of content that isn't there. I mean, they've really focused a lot on the main gameplay, and it looks beautiful from what we've seen. Like, it looks absolutely gorgeous. And, you know, Rammer said in the past, if it wasn't ready, they weren't going to put it in the game. So I think people are skeptical, especially because some of those things were big sellers.
Now, there was a list late last week going around on places like the NHL EA Sports forums. A listener by the name of Solo actually sent us a list, and I will read it in its entirety. I should state before we start this list is not endorsed by Got Game.
No.
We do not know if this list is correct, but a lot of people are saying right now this list is correct and these are missing features. But just so you know what we're talking about, we do know a few of these things. Like, the list starts off with no EA Sports Hockey League. We knew about that. No OTP. We knew about that. No NHL 94 mode. Obviously, we knew about that as well. But then the list goes on to say there is no offline season in HUT. There are no tournaments in HUT. You cannot play a friend in HUT. HUT being Hockey Ultimate Team, the mode where you collect cards and build your team by collecting cards. No Winter Classic, no GM Connected mode, which was already mentioned, no shootouts, no Live the Life mode, which we already knew. You cannot be a CHL pro. There will be no be an NHL pro. Being drafted is just a random assignment to a team, which I feel like kind of always was, but people will debate that fact. You cannot draft players in be a GM mode. No fantasy draft in be a GM mode. No be a legend mode. No season mode. No tournament mode. No playoff mode. No battle for the cup mode. No creation zone. No edit team. You cannot edit a player. You cannot customize AI. You cannot build your own AI. You cannot create a play. You cannot add custom music. You cannot simulate the game between shifts in be a pro mode. You cannot create custom cameras. And there's no mobile companion app for the Hockey Ultimate Team, which I feel like that last one, they're having a hard enough time with the game itself. They don't have the time to make a mobile app. As we mentioned before, Got Game has not been able to verify this because our review copy at this time when we recorded this, the Thursday before it aired, has not shown up yet. So we have not been able to confirm this. But there are a few things in here that, come on, guys, no Winter Classic.
Yeah.
The reason there's no Winter Classic, we already knew that would not happen, because for the Winter Classic to be in the game, you have to have a stadium that EA Sports already has access to. Any of the professional football stadiums, the NFL stadiums, would be a good choice. But any time it happens in a baseball field, all those fields are locked up by Sony and their baseball game. So in those cases, obviously, there's not going to be a Winter Classic. And at this point, they haven't even chosen the field for the 2015 Winter Classic. And the 2014 Winter Classic happened in a college football field in Michigan. So obviously, that's not going to be in the game because they gave up the rights to the NCAA franchise.
Mm-hmm.
So there are a few things in here that make sense. I still don't think the NHL 94 mode was going to be an annual thing.
No.
I figure that's a one-off thing. The no shootout. If there are no shootouts in the game, that's a big miss, because that's a core aspect of hockey right now.
Yeah, it's how a large part of the game seem to end now, where it's like, I guess, will they just go to double OT, or will they just have it be single OT and then say, all right, well, you're tied, which ties don't even exist in the NHL anymore.
Unfortunately, we're running out of time. We gotta go to break. When we come back, did you know that Nintendo's going to have a new handheld? Well, kind of. And Samsung is getting into the VR goggles ring. That's a story I did not see coming, but we'll talk about those and more after Sports Update. This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Like free sports tickets, trips, and memorabilia so you can trick your friends, colleagues, and mistresses into thinking that you're some sort of high roller? Hey, join the club.
Welcome to the club.
The fan club. Log on to Sportsnet590.ca. We've got game. Do you in the game?
This is Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network. I am Brian Calhoun. Welcome back to segment two of our show. Loman Kreshi is not here. He's in Europe right now, actually taking a vacation, unlike every other week where he's actually working, and I'm just making fun of him for actually working and saying he's on vacation. No, this week, it's actually happening. He'll be back in a couple weeks. But until then, Brian Calhoun, as previously mentioned, along with Christine Chubb.
Welcome, yeah.
Christine.
Thank you.
And the editor-in-chief of Comics and Gaming Magazine, Brendan Fry, is here and will probably actually say something this segment.
Now I have something I can actually talk about.
You had nothing to say about
NHL 15.
Nothing
to contribute whatsoever. I'm sorry.
We really did not either. That was just a bit of news I thought we should get out. We do not want to confirm or deny any of the things in that list that we basically rattled off last segment. It will be interesting to see what happens when we get our hands on the actual game, if that list is true. But a lot of people are treating that list as true, and if it is true, I can understand why a lot of people would be pissed off. Things like the shootout not being in the game, that's a huge, huge factor.
As someone that does not know the game very well, that seems like a large portion of what the game would be to me.
It's weird. A lot of these things come up in a small situation here or there.
Okay, so they're not major features?
Well, it's a weird thing. It's like having a car, but then the car doesn't have any taillights. You could drive the car, but in the situation where you have to brake, well, you're missing taillights. You're missing something important. Same thing in this situation.
Of course you would use a car reference. Well, in NASCAR, here's what it's like.
I didn't bring up NASCAR. There's
I
not
think
even
they have
taillights.
They
no.
Don't have to, no, just stickers.
Exactly. They have decals.
A car is a car is a car.
So from that, we obviously make the natural transition to the NBA 2K franchise.
Of course.
And if you have not been following the NBA 2K staff, if you will, on Instagram, they recently put out a video of them, what seems to be a quick trailer of them inside their motion capture studio, motion capturing actual NBA cheerleaders. Because
sounds useful.
One of the focuses of this new NBA 2K15 game is to make the entire experience as authentic as possible. So they were not interested in having animators just make up a dance. They wanted to bring in actual NBA dance packs. And I did the best research I could in the short amount of time I had. It does not appear that the Toronto dance pack is involved in this at all. But there are actually legitimate NBA dance teams that have been choreographed and then motion captured and then put in NBA 2K15, which to me feels like being unhappy with the cheerleaders inside your game is the ultimate first world problem in video game development.
It truly is.
I think it's more about being respectful to the women who are there. Like, these are hardworking women. Like, it's not easy being a cheerleader. Like, these are athletes. Like, look at the NFL cheerleaders. Like, those women work really hard. And granted, they don't get paid very well, but they work really hard. And so I think it's more of, like, just acknowledging that their work is there and that it happens and that these women work hard, so it's and again, it's authentication.
Sure, I'll go with her on that one. I mean, it is. I can see it being very important for the people, the teams, to see everyone involved. Like, the cheerleaders are part of those teams and kind of keep the spirit going. I just don't know if they need to be in the game because I don't know if that actually adds anything. But hey, if it makes the team feel more authentic, I'm cool with that.
Well, if nothing else, it gives you some ray of hope about how confident the NBA 2K15 development team has to be in the franchise.
Yeah.
Because if they are going to this length, if they are worried about motion capturing the cheerleading squads, the dance packs of these NBA teams, then, I mean, they got to be sitting there going, well, we don't have to worry about the rest of the game.
I'm going to throw it out there. They also don't need to worry about the competition right now. So they can just do anything they want.
There's a part of me that wants to agree with you, because I did play the last NBA Live game, the first NBA game to come out of EA Sports in a very long time.
It was a thing.
Not very good.
No.
But then again, I haven't played this year's edition, so
It was starting from zero, so it's going to be better.
Oh, yes.
But 2K's game is sitting at like a 9 now on most people's scales, so they have a long way to go.
Yeah, there's not much I can say.
Yeah.
That's a factual statement, so there's not much I can add to that. What I can inform you of is the fact that Samsung is getting into the VR industry, if you will.
Yeah.
They are basically going head-to-head with Oculus VR now.
Here's the funny thing. Oculus VR already used Samsung panels, the same panels that are used in the Note that there's going to be in the system. So when it's all put together, it kind of is an Oculus in a nonsensically dumb sort of way.
Well, the story is that Samsung is trying to make a, I want to say, cheaper VR headset, but I don't think it's going to be that.
Well, because it's $200 for the headset, and then it's the price of the phone.
And the story, we haven't really explained it very well at this point,
is that... Oh, yeah, kind of explain what's going on.
Is that Samsung has created this VR headset, but they are not going the same way that the Oculus Rift people are. The guys that were bought up by Facebook a couple of weeks ago, or actually at this point a couple of months ago, how time flies... For $2 billion,
yeah,
I think
it was
a lot of money. So the Oculus VR guys, Christine, you can test this because you actually tried the technology. So have I, mm-hmm. so has Brendan.
Yep.
You know, it's an actual piece of electronic hardware that you strap to your face, and it has screens built in, and it looks very pretty, and it works very well. It's like mm-hmm. the VR that we always thought we would have in the 90s. The guys at Samsung, I don't know why they are doing this, but they're basically taking a phone, and you have to buy this phone. And then you go and buy a plastic headset. And a plastic headset's really not more than a case, if you will. Because you slot your phone, specifically a phone called the Galaxy Note 4, into the headset. And then there are some lenses in the headset which you use to somehow make this cell phone into the screen for your VR helmet. Mm-hmm. And by all accounts that we've seen so far, does not do a very good job.
Yeah. I don't know. I like the idea of being able to watch the 3D movies in it. Like, I think that's kind of a cool concept, but how many people are really going to do that? Like,
I don't think... It's a very select market. Remember when they had those 3D phones out?
Yeah.
And that was cool for... like a week, and then it was like, I don't want this in my phone.
Remember even when Sony announced those giant 3D TVs?
Yeah.
Like, they look cool, but I don't know anybody who owns them.
I actually do have a 3D TV.
Do you? How often do you use
a 3D
TV?
I've used it 3 times for 20 minutes total.
Wow.
And most of it was, look at this. Isn't it cool? Can we put it back? Putting back to 2D now. It's back to 2D.
Like, I think, like, 3D is an experience that you have in the theaters. And I mean, I kind of like the idea of being able to watch Guardians of the Galaxy in 3D in my living room. But I don't know if I'd be willing to sit there for 2 hours with that, this goggle on my head and this phone attached to my brain. What if your phone rings? Like, what if...
I'm assuming it goes to some kind of non-ringing mode, but...
Imagine if it comes up on the screen as well. As like subtitles, where it's like, Joe Schmo is calling you right now.
Oh, Joe Schmo.
Schmo. He always calls at the most inappropriate times.
Yeah. Every time I'm busy, the guy calls. I can't figure it out.
What a jerk.
I don't know. This is a weird story. For multiple reasons, I can't understand why they're going this way. First off, I feel like, do you remember those old infomercials where they had the hat? Yeah, exactly. Those ones.
Yep. Yeah. I know exactly who you're talking about. I'm sure any listener that's ever watched infomercials from the 90s will know exactly.
Well, then go ahead. Take it.
Nope. I'm leaving this to you. You're far better at describing things than
I have. No idea what you're talking about. So tell me what you're talking about. So, if it's not like the slap chop, I don't know what you're talking about.
The clapper.
The sandwich maker.
We should probably get a
Do you guys want to talk about the ShamWow? For...
Ooh. No, please. Take it away.
So there was this hat that you could buy, and the hat had a slot at the very front of the rim, because it was like a baseball hat.
Okay.
So it had the baseball hat rim at the front of it, and hanging down from that was a slot where you could put your cell phone.
Sorry.
And then also it had, and I don't know, I've never actually seen one of these in person, I just remember the infomercials from TV, it had cloth that would come down and sort of cover your face, so you're creating a theater experience on the go.
Oh my God.
And as I'm explaining this, I'm going back in my mind and remembering all the images of people they had laying on the beach in a bathing suit, wearing this ridiculous hat.
It looked really dumb.
Sitting there watching TV on their phone.
I never saw this.
It was stupid.
Yeah, it sounds ridiculous.
And this is kind of the idea that I'm getting from that. Obviously, it's a little bit more in-depth, but I'm harking back to those days of watching people sitting on a beach watching TV on their cell phone by wearing a silly hat.
Yeah.
So, one, I'm having a hard time getting past that. And the other problem is that I really enjoy my Apple iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really care about the cell phone wars. I'm not going to try and convince you that my iPhone is better than your Android or even mm-hmm. Windows phone. It's just the one that I want to have.
It works with you. That's what matters.
So the fact that I would have to buy a Samsung phone to make this work
mm-hmm.
means that I am locked into an Android system, which is okay. I have an Android tablet, which I feel works fine. It's just not the device I want to carry with me everywhere I go.
That's fair. Nothing wrong with that.
Especially when in the last couple of weeks, or maybe even last week, if you will, the guys from Oculus VR, business people working on that project, came out and said that they're
final consumer version is going to be somewhere in the area of $200 to $400.
It's a large range, though.
It's a large range, but if it comes in at $200, it's not crazy to drop $200 on even on a three-year contract.
No, that's not crazy at all.
So Samsung seems to be stacking the world against themselves, and I can't figure out why. Why go this way?
If they made the headset $20, you buy this headset, you get the phone, do it for free, go with it. But it's another thing you have to buy on top of your phone that seems like an overpriced piece of plastic that I don't really understand why anyone would pay. And just because Oculus doesn't know when that thing's coming out, you desperately need VR right now.
Yeah, and you got to think, if they're going to start playing games from your thing, then you got to put a controller in there too. That is a lot of things attached to a little goggle on your head.
It sounds problematic to say the least. I mean, they're going to have to figure a solution for this.
And we've all been very impressed by the Oculus VR headsets. Now, we were not there, but a number of tech focused people who care more about cell phones and video games, those guys were brought in by Samsung to first look at this project, because they were announcing this and a cell phone and a tablet, a whole bunch of other stuff together. So they were all on site, and you listen to people like the guys working at a website called Engadget, who focus on, technology stuff. And they're sitting there saying that, this VR headset from Samsung, it lacks the power that you would need. And that's the result of the fact that it's all based around a cell phone, which has, compared to, say, what you would get off a computer with the Oculus VR, very limited processing power and very little graphical power.
Yeah.
I mean, these phones are getting much more powerful, but they're not pumping out images to two screens simultaneously at X resolution. It needs to be extremely powerful to do it properly. You could easily just do 3D, but to actually make it so the person would be immersed in a living world, you need a very powerful PC behind it, or PC, console, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Sony just announced last week or so that they have a new cell phone that they are bringing out.
Yep.
And you can take that cell phone and you can actually hook it up to your PlayStation 4 and play your PlayStation 4 for the cell phone with the PlayStation 4 output of video instead of going to TV, going to your cell phone. And as someone who has a PlayStation Vita, and I've done that with my PlayStation Vita,
it works.
That's a very handy thing to have when, say, you really want to play Destiny, but the Super Bowl is on.
Yeah.
Or a NASCAR race, for example, Christine.
Yeah. But I mean, then that makes more sense. It's in the Sony's ecosystem. It's using the Z3, the phone you're talking about. It all works because Sony's proven it works.
Yeah.
It's also less power to take
just
an image.
Yeah.
And put it on your cell phone than it is to try and do 3D graphics your cell phone, which is what Samsung is trying to do. But unfortunately, we are out of time for the segment. We have to move on. Coming up after the sports update, Brennan, are you upset that there's no Tiger Woods game this year?
Sure. Why not?
Well, I may have
sold that.
I may have the perfect solution for you. It's called the Golf Club. It's the only simulation golf game that will be out on consoles this year. It's also the first simulation golf game on this next PlayStation 4 and Xbox One generation of consoles. So we'll be talking about that. And also, I did mention a Nintendo handheld, a new one. We'll talk about that and more coming up after Sports Update. This is Got Game on a Sportsnet Radio Network.
Prizes like no other, from a club like no other, the Fan Club. Log on to sportsnet590.ca. We've got game. Do you? Gameplay.
Welcome back to Got Game, the third and final segment of our show this week. I'm Brian Calhoun. Christine Chubb is here as always. Brendan Fry, editor-in-chief of Comics and Gaming Magazine, is here as well, covering for a moment, but we don't have much time. Let's get right to the story that we want to talk about. Nintendo put out a new handheld, but kind of. I mean, I could sit here and tell you guys that has this little second-hand analog stick that's
analog nub,
kind of not really a stick or whatever. I could tell you that they've added new shoulder buttons to the console. I could tell you that it's using a new sort of memory card, not a unique memory card, but something new to the series of 3DSs. But then again, this new thing that Nintendo just announced, this Nintendo 3DS LL, the new iteration of the 3DS, because they do this all the time. They've done it with the DS. Now they're doing it with the 3DS. It's not coming to North America this year at all, and might not next year. Nintendo at this point just said, we have no plans for the North American market at this moment.
That's an odd choice. If they're going to make, if they're going to announce a new system and cannibalize the sales that will be going on this holiday season, you might want to at least say when the people can expect it. Because right now people are saying, well, I'm not going to buy it now. Maybe I'm just going to hold off buying a 3DS for a while. And why not just wait till they say it's going to be released next week? Go buy it. Because right now they've just cannibalized the sales for a while. That seems like a dumb move.
And I can't figure out why they would not release it in all territories, considering Nintendo fans are very loyal and tend to buy all hardware, regardless of the current state of, say, a library of games.
Well, the library of the 3DS is already pretty strong. So if they just wanted to people this holiday season say, hey, we need a new... my 3DS is looking a little scratched. I want a new one. And then just buy this new 3DS LL.
Yeah.
It seems like a good alternative for people that already have systems but want an upgrade.
Yeah, and the dual stick idea is something that the 3DS has always missed, and I like the idea if it works. If it's just like a little flippy thing, and then who cares if it doesn't really work that well. But I mean, it's something that would have been good for when I was playing Kid Icarus.
Or the Resident Evil game would be a good one.
Yeah, so there are games where the dual stick control would have been fantastic, but
for that they came out with this whole add-on
stupid add-on that didn't even work, and it would fall out, and it was such a waste of time.
I'm not totally sure this new nub is going to be much better, because it's not exactly a big stick, say that big stick on the left side of the 3DS right now.
Yeah.
It's this little tiny, little smaller than your fingernail, even the smallest fingernail on your finger. It's that small. So
it's kind of like, if you remember the old ThinkPads, it's like that. They have this little nub on the side of the keyboard. It's like that.
And now, as promised, the golf club. A competitor, if you will, to the EA Sports Tiger Woods franchise. Now, actually, the EA Sports PGA Tour franchise. They had dropped Tiger Woods from that whole thing for, reasons we really do not know about.
Although with this season, with all his injuries, it was probably a good decision.
Well, they dropped him before this season.
Mm-hmm.
We still do not know why, but they are still going to make a golf game. They are just taking a year off to make a better game for the next generation of consoles. And at this point, we've seen footage of them knocking balls off of giant ships as they crash into, say, Florida coast golf courses. So I'm on board.
It's why golf not? To the new generation.
Golf to the extreme.
It's like real life mini putt.
Well, they needed something after Tiger Woods left and Tiger Woods became less of a factor. They needed something to bring people in. Perhaps crashing ships into coastlines is a little extreme, but I mean, I'm not a golf professional. Who am I to tell the PGA Tour what to do with their time? So,
well, I always said the PGA Tour needs far more extreme sports in it. So,
And according to the next video game that's coming out, that's probably the way they are going.
Well, then they listened to me. The one voice that said that.
So, the Golf Club, a golf simulation, the only golf simulation currently on next-generation consoles, and also the first one on next-generation consoles, has come out from Canadian HB Studios. They are not really known well for making their own games, because they spend a lot of time helping out other studios on other games. Well, they've helped out on Madden games in the past.
Okay.
They've helped out on Tiger Woods games in the past. They've made their own selection of games as well. Many of them seem to be confined to tablets and cell phones.
Okay.
But they also have, as I said before, helped out on major AAA releases.
Yeah.
So, studio that knows how to make a game. If they're going to make, or at least help make, Madden and Tiger Woods, I think we can all agree that this is a studio that knows how to make a game. And as we talked to the guy last week from the producer of the Golf Club, he mentioned that, well, since Tiger Woods was not coming out this year and they planned to work on Tiger Woods and then all of a sudden it wasn't happening, why not just make a Tiger Woods game, or at least a golf game, by themselves? And that's where the Golf Club comes in. A decent enough golf game, if you will. I had very few issues with the Golf Club game in terms of gameplay. Very solid. Very much like Tiger Woods.
Okay.
And I guess that makes sense considering the pedigree.
Yeah.
So if you've played Tiger Woods before, you'll walk into this game and at least know the controls. I will say that one of my problems with this game is that as much as I felt like I knew the controls, I feel that Tiger Woods does a far better job of giving you feedback, letting you know what you've done specifically.
Okay.
I feel like with the golf club, I'm swinging the club, and sometimes I'm making the shot, and sometimes I'm not making the shot. I'm not entirely sure why.
Yeah, it's not giving you... Yeah, it's not teaching you how to play the game.
Yeah, that's a huge problem with the golf club across the board. I feel like their studio probably never worked on, say, the user interface or the tutorials or any part of a game that is made to make it more user-friendly. Mm-hmm. I feel like these guys probably worked more on the actual nuts and bolts of making the ball go into the hole very nicely.
Mm-hmm. And what's the price point on the game?
It's actually $35 on both the Steam store, the Valve Steam powered, whatever the heck they're calling that thing these days. The place where people who play video games on the computer go and buy video games. That place.
EA.
Well, once again, the place that people who play, and I checked on the PlayStation store, it was $35 there as well.
So
it's not the full price that the guys at EA Sports are going to charge for a Tiger Woods game. And I feel like the quality is similar, but the game's biggest problem, as I was trying to explain, is that there are no tutorials for anything. And this is a complicated game. You really have to learn the logic of the game. I was playing this game with other people as we all took turns trying to get the best score for a round. And the thought that kept coming up was that a video game, even a golf game, is not a perfect representation of real-life golf.
Right.
So you kind of have to learn the logic of the game in order to figure out how the game should be played. For example, how hard you have to putt. I said earlier before, there are very few feedback systems in the game. There are very few ways that the game actually tells you what you're doing, if you're doing it very good or very bad. Mm-hmm. So putting, for example, took a long time to learn.
Seem like very glaring problems to me, from what you're saying, at least.
I mean, it's a huge issue, but at the same time, the game actually has very few faults in terms of gameplay. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to have to take a lot of time to learn the game, but at the same time, once you learn the game itself is pretty good. Before I move on, though, when we're talking about tutorials, I thought the funniest thing was that me and Moman last week did last week's Got Gameplay. Got Gameplay is a series that we've started recently. It's where we talk about games that we have played, new releases in the last little while. We capture the footage on our consoles. We bring that footage in and we commentate over it. That series you can find on YouTube. And also just go check the Got Game Show blog, because I will link it there. That's the two places you can go find it. If you go to YouTube, look for us, Got Game 590. But anyhow, so this is a new series we did. And we put up the golf club one. And one of the first comments is a guy explaining something to me that I was sitting there in the Got Gameplay video going, you know, I'm pretty sure this isn't a game, but I haven't figured it out yet. And it was the fact that the golf course has a huge course creator. And if you go through sort of the selection of the checklist that they give you and fill it all out, then the golf club will just make a course for you automatically. But if you don't pick any holes, if you don't choose a number of holes at that time, then you can actually plan out your own golf course and set it up the way you want. Which, I know, guys, I'm sorry, I know that sounds confusing, but now you're getting kind of the idea of what I'm going through playing this
game.
Okay. That's kind of the experience you'll have.
And does this game have licensed courses, or is it just it's all random courses?
See, the entire thing about the golf club is that the golf club will make courses for you. Unique courses, almost an infinite number of courses at the snap of a finger.
That's really cool.
So none of them are licensed, but you can get almost infinite number of golf courses.
Right.
And they do actually look good and they play good, and you can create your own very easily if you want. The golf course creator is a wonderful tool, but as with everything else in the game, it takes a while to figure out how to use it properly.
Okay.
And one of my few complaints that revolve around trying to figure out how to play this game is that instead of an actual announcing team, because the idea of the golf club is not that you're playing on the PGA Tour. It's that it's the weekend, and you and some buddies got some time at a golf course, and you're playing around.
It's everyman golf, yeah.
So there's a guy who comes and sort of comments on your shots, as your buddies would if you're playing golf.
Do they get consecutively more drunk as the thing goes along, as my buddies would?
No, that would be actually a very nice touch. I found them super annoying, though.
Really?
Yeah, so condescending.
Oh, what a bunch of jerks.
Dude is a huge jerk. Bugged me so much.
I would not want a jerky person.
Can you turn that off? Can you turn? Do you have the option to turn off the commentary? I would hope so.
Maybe?
Yeah. Probably not.
In a game where I'm struggling to figure out how to do some of the game's basic mechanics, I never really bothered to look, and that's my fault. I should have looked, but dang it, it's also not my fault that this guy's a snarky little jerk. He's a very snarky little jerk.
And is it the same guy you play with all the time?
Yes.
So
it's always the same guy.
He's always there.
Why do you keep inviting this man to play golf with you? What?
I don't even invite him anymore. He just shows up every time.
He's
and what am I
guy.
Supposed to do?
He's one of those guys.
What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to be the jerk? sure if I told him off once, he would go, but then I'm the bad guy, so...
Fair enough.
The other thing I felt, the other big issue I had with the golf club is I just did not feel like there was any progression.
Yeah.
It's the same issue I had with Far Cry 2.
Okay.
You sort of just keep playing the game, because it's the same activities over and over and over and over and over again. So you're always just kind of playing the game.
Yeah.
And if you really just want to play golf courses, very unique golf courses, if that's your draw, sure. But if you're looking for some sort of campaign, some sort of progress, if you're looking for the game to sit there and give you a bunch of little stars and saying, hey, you did really good here, this isn't the game for you, because this game doesn't have that.
There's no scoring system or anything like that?
Well, there's a scoring system, but there's no progression. It's not like the PGA Tour games where you progress through a tour. You can play a tournament if you want, but there's no career mode, for example.
So it feels very much like a first outing kind of thing?
It feels like that the golf club is trying to appeal to a very certain person.
Yeah.
And I want to make it very clear to everybody that if you are that person, if all you want to do is play these unique golf clubs, then sure, $35 well spent. If you're looking for Tiger Woods, this is not that game.
Yeah.
And it's not trying to be Tiger Woods. But, man, did it look good? The controls were very nice. I enjoyed the fact that I could play against the ghosts of the best players on every, well, not every hole. If you get a lot of people to play your hole and sort of vote it up, because there's thousands and thousands of golf courses.
Yeah.
Of all shapes and sizes. Some of them are 18 holes. Some of them are 9 holes. Some of them are all par 3s. Some of them are all par 5s. And the ones that are played the most and have the best ratings also have ghosts in them of the best rounds played in that game.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's always the same person because he has like the best 3 rounds. Sometimes it's 3 completely different people.
Weird.
But that was also kind of cool because I got to see how I matched up against other people.
Yeah.
Turns out I matched up very poorly.
That's the learning curve.
But I'm going to give the golf club an 8 out of 10. Not a bad golf game, but it's a golf game for a very specific person.
Yeah.
They are not trying to be Tiger Woods. So if that's what you're looking for, I do not suggest you spend your $35 on this, but if the idea of an infinite number of unique golf courses appeals to you, yeah, sure, $35, well spent. But that's all the time we have on this week's edition of Got Game. Christine Chubb, thank you for joining me, and Brendan Fry, the editor-in-chief of Comics and Gaming Magazine. We appreciate you coming in and covering for Moman, who is away this week and next week, but he will be back in a couple of weeks. So until then, I'm Brian Calhoun. This has been Got Game on the Sportsnet Radio Network.